Praise God. Welcome to Genesis 1 Christian Ministries. Pastor Mike here. Why don't we go straight to prayer? Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much for this time that we're about to have with you, Lord God. We pray in the name of Jesus, O Lord, that Holy Spirit will minister to every single listener that is out there today, O Lord God. Heavenly Father, you know the needs, you know the desires, you know the aspirations, you know what's going on in the lives of every single listener out there today, O Lord. So we pray in the name of Jesus that Holy Spirit will minister to each of them in his own special way. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and we give this time and this space entirely over to you. Take it where you will for your honor and your glory and your praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Praise God, praise God. Again, welcome to Genesis 1. Pastor Mike here. And why don't you go get your Bible, hit pause and go get your Bible, get a notepad, some paper, a pencil, a marker, or something to take some notes with. You'd be surprised how the notes that you take and how you mark up your Bible can come to help you later on as the issues of life come your way. Praise God. I want to say to you today that you've probably heard the expression, seeing is believing. You've probably heard that before. And I think the originator of that expression we can find right there in Scripture. So with that, why don't we go to John 20, verse 11. John 20, verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. 20, verse 11. And verse 11. Okay, now this is right after the crucifixion, okay, and Jesus' resurrection, all right? We find Mary here in the scripture here. Excuse me. And you see in verse number 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So she turned around and she saw Jesus, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. And when she, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. So she thought this person had moved the body of Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now here they were gathered and the doors were shut. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. And he says, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Okay? At this point, Thomas was not there. He was not there. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, please underline, I will not believe, okay? So they're telling him that they saw Jesus. But he said, unless I can touch him, put my fingers in the wounds, then I will not believe. And after 8 days, now 8 days had gone by, again, his disciples were within, and this time Thomas was there, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut again. They were together in this room with the door shut. Now, this time Thomas was there, and again, Jesus shows up and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, but believing. Okay, so he told him, touch his body, handle him, put your fingers and your hands into my wounds. Okay, and then it says there, be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Please highlight that in your Bible. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Okay? So that's a critical point here for us to understand. This is where Doubting Thomas became known as Doubting Thomas. Okay? And if you are a Christian, it shouldn't be seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. Again, that old expression, oh, seeing is believing. We as Christians, we have to believe, knowing that if we believe, then indeed we will see. Believing comes before seeing. For God to be able to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life, you've got to believe before you can see it. We go to Matthew 17, verse 14. And we see here where it says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Why could we not deliver him? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Please underline that in your Bible. Because of your unbelief. They asked him, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So Jesus here is indicating some frustration here over their lack of belief and faith. Jesus is frustrated because he wonders how long will it take before they take him at his word. Same thing with us. How long does it take us before we take Jesus at his word? How long does your life have to continue going the way it's going with its ups and downs and where you are winding up being so stressed out because of your lack of belief and your lack of faith? If you will exercise biblical faith and take God at his word and act in light of what he says, you will see more. The reason we don't see more miracles in this life is because we don't believe in miracles. We simply don't. We think miracles are just too far flung or whatever. Some people believe, you know, and say that, oh, miracles and things like that and supernatural happenings and occurrences were for the Old Testament times. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did supernatural and miraculous things back in those days in biblical times, he is still doing them today and can do them today and will do them today in your life if you will see before you believe. Don't go with this, oh boy, if I could only believe it, then boy, if I could only see it, then I would believe it. You know? Yes, I've heard people say, oh, I'll believe it when I see it. Oh boy. For us Christians, relative to God's word, that is not the way we want to go. We can't be waiting to see it before we can believe it. If you're waiting to see something before you believe it, it's possible you could be waiting a very long time. But if you will believe it and act in accord with God's word or what he is saying specifically to you, you'll begin to see some things that could potentially blow your mind if you just change the way you're behaving. In fact, Jesus said that you can speak to the mountain we just read, and it will be removed. the mountain here, of course, that Jesus is referring to. You know, it could be anything in your life that is really a mountainous thing before you right now. It could be finances. It could be health, something dealing with the family issues, your husband, your wife, your children, people on your job, whatever it may be. You know, whatever is too tough for you, that is a mountain that is before you. And what Jesus is saying, if you can believe his word there, okay, and you speak to that mountain, you speak to that situation in the name of Jesus, that problem can be done away with, okay? That is, if you can believe it, if you can believe exactly what you read. Do you take Jesus literally for what he said to you, what he just said to you through his scripture, through the written word here? So let's start putting our belief before our sight so that our sight will reflect our belief. Let me say that again. Let's start putting our belief before our sight so that our sight will reflect our belief. Let's start putting our belief before our sight so that we can start seeing what we believe. Okay? Right? If you start believing God and believing what the word says, then you'll start seeing those things that are critical and important to you in your life. Because of the fact the Bible also says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't go by what we see. We don't go by what the circumstances are looking like and telling us, you know, in our world that's going on around us. We have faith in what the word of God says can be. So we have that faith, and then we will see that faith materialize, okay, and manifest in the natural world and affect our situations, remove those problems for our lives. This is so appropriate, this discussion that we're having right now is so appropriate as we approach the events of Resurrection Sunday, okay? Resurrection Sunday is just down the road a little bit here. And so what I want to do is to kind of build a little bit of foundation and let's focus on what was happening with Jesus on his way to the cross. Right? And we can see that we know that the events that we call Palm Sunday, which is approximately 1 week before the crucifixion. But what are the events that took place just before that? That's, again, what I want to look at today. We want to pick up where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Recall that in scripture? Holy Spirit came upon him, and God said in Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Everybody heard that when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist. Then after that, if you recall, Jesus went into the desert to be tempted by Satan, and Jesus defeated him with scripture one by one. Three times Satan tried to tempt him. Three times Jesus hit him with scripture. Then the Bible says in Matthew 4:17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand." Okay. After he was tempted in the desert, then he started his ministry, really, really started then. That's when he started preaching and telling him what God was telling him to say. Jesus went on to preach the gospel and went about doing his Father's will. And this is what turned the established religious leaders against him. They could not stand what Jesus was saying. See, don't forget, Jesus was somewhat of a maverick at his time. Jesus was somewhat of a rebel, if you will, at his time. You had the Jewish religious establishment of the days, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and they were preaching. They were preaching this word, you know, and it wasn't wholly based on what God the Father wanted to happen. That's why Jesus came on the scene, and what Jesus started preaching went diametrically against what they were saying. And they, being so puffed up in pride, they were saying, you know, how dare he come about calling himself the Son of God, as Jesus did many times, and healing people and so on. Jesus was upsetting their very, very comfortable life. They loved walking around in their fancy robes, purple robes and everything, sitting in the best seats in the synagogue, standing on the streets, you know, praying out loud and doing all this sort of thing so everyone could say, "Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me." Okay, but they were not doing what God the Father wanted them to do. Jesus was, and this was upsetting them quite a bit. So we can see that as Jesus was preaching, they raised up against him. We see such turning against Jesus in the events of raising Lazarus from the dead. Okay, and I'm sure you're familiar with that story, but if not, make sure you have your Bible. So let's start with John 11, verse number 21. John 11, verse 21. I'm sorry, John 11, verse 1. John 11, verse 1. John 11, verse 1. Praise God. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. I understand what he's saying. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. In other words, God will be glorified through this, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Okay. Now, he just didn't pick up and run. He delayed. 2 more days he waited. Then after that said he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? In other words, Jesus is going back to a place where they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. And they're saying, Master, you're going back there again? But Jesus said in verse number 9, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. All right, now he's tarried 2 days so far, okay? But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Underline that, please. Lazarus is dead. Okay, now I'm going to say it plain. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to say it plainly now. No euphemisms. Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes, verse 15, that I was not there to the intent that you might believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Okay, so in other words, he wanted to make sure, this may sound cold, but he wanted to make sure that that they could see that Lazarus was indeed dead. He waited 2 days, and he wanted to make sure that they could understand that he was dead. He was dead. It says there, to the intent that you may believe. All right? I am glad for your sakes that I was not there when he died, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. All right, by the time they got there now, 4 days had gone by, and Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been there, my brother would not have died. Had you been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Underline that, please. Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's thinking. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, underline, please, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In other words, do you believe this? Underline that too, please. All right. So he's making a statement there. He's making a statement. Okay. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, he shall live. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Do you believe in Jesus? And if you do, then you will not die. I'm talking going beyond the physical death. All of us experience the physical death, but we have an eternity. Everyone has an eternity. And whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ in your heart of hearts, really believe that he's the Son of God and that he came and did all that he said he did on the cross for you, okay? We all have an eternity. But if you don't believe in Jesus, then you will not be spending eternity in heaven. Not according to my words, according to the Bible, okay? Evil people as well as good people will see an eternity. It depends on where you will spend that eternity. This is what he means when he says here, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Talk about into eternity, okay? Because you will not die a spiritual death, which is separation from God. You'll not experience a physical death. I'm sorry, a spiritual death, which is separation from God. Do you believe this? Then verse 27 says, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calls for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Mary and Martha met him. So you see, Jesus there is really stressing the importance of her belief. He's really stressing that at this point in time. Now that's going to become more and more important as we go on. And we continue here in verse number 30 here. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been there, my brother would not have died. Again, now here it is again. If you had been there, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. He really loved Lazarus. He really loved him. Can you imagine? Imagine what constraint it must have taken. I mean, Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew what God the Father was going to do. Jesus knew. And for him to be able to tarry like that, I mean, can you imagine finding out that a loved one of yours is very, very sick, very, very, very ill, and for you not to just take up and go, but deliberately delay? This must have really, 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 you know, bothered Jesus, but Jesus knew what had to happen. Like he said, though, he also, for the sake of glorifying him, glorifying God the Father, they had to know that Jesus was not there when Lazarus died, okay? They needed to know that. So it must have really, really pained Jesus to have to tarry like that, because it said that he really loved him. And it said there in verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? See, they're asking, wondering the same thing. Could not Jesus have saved him? Okay. But Jesus knew what he had to do and knew what had to be demonstrated for these people. He knew that God had to be glorified. And this was the way to do it. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take you away the stone. Remove the stone, in other words. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead for 4 days. Okay. Now, right away, she's doing the calculation there that, my gosh, being in that, you know, they didn't have modern embalming methods then. You know, they didn't have the ability to pump him full of formaldehyde to stop the body from decaying. So she's thinking that he's been there for 4 days already, so the body is stinking. Jesus told Martha, you know, Jesus told Martha that her brother would be raised, but she went scientific on Jesus by telling him that the body was now in a form of advanced decay. See, so she wasn't thinking where Jesus was coming from. She wasn't thinking about what Jesus had the ability to do and what Jesus had even said to her, that he will live, that he, she was forgetting all of that. And her mind, again, in a way, went scientific, just thinking, well, he's in there for 4 days. His body got to be stinking by now. She used her logic to figure out why Lazarus simply could not be raised. See? And then if we continue here in verse number 40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if you would believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? See, she forgot all about that. She's simply reasoning, you know, logically speaking again, he's been in that tomb for 4 days, sealed by that stone, been there for 4 days. That body has to be decayed, because all things being equal, no way can he survive. No way can he come out of that cave, okay? Now, how often do we also do that in our lives, okay? because we can't see beyond the stone, so to speak. We can't see into the future. We're kind of discounting what God said about us being victorious, about God bringing us through all sorts of issues in life. You know, we go logical on him and on God and start thinking, oh, gee whiz, how is that possible? All things being equal, no way am I going to get that job. No way can my wife and I, we've been praying for so long, have that baby that we want so badly. No way, no way, no way, no way, because we go through with our logical human mind thinking about what the outcome of our lives could be. Okay? Take any situation in your life that you're struggling with right now. If God has promised you one thing, then you have to believe that before you actually see the promise actualized. That's the point that I'm trying to make today. If you want to see that promise that God has made you relative to your current situation, you've got to believe it before you can see that situation, that promise materialize, okay, and manifest in reality in your life. You've got to believe it. Don't do like she did. Oh, well, he's been in there for 4 days now. His body stinks. No way is that possible. You know, don't go start making excuses why God can't do something, okay, because then you're canceling out your belief. You're canceling out your faith. And then if you're canceling out your belief and you're canceling out your faith, then it's very, very possible that you will be canceling out the reality of that thing manifesting and being how can I say, being seeable in your world, okay, in reality, in the physical reality. So we see, we continue here. We'll go to verse 41. Let me go back to verse 40 so it flows smoothly. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if you would believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Here he is praying now. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. All right, underline that, please. That they may believe, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus had given her direction. He said, if you believe, you would see it. Remove the stone. Jesus did not ask her opinion or advice. He simply gave her direction. He said, move the stone. Jesus, by way of Holy Spirit, may be telling you to do something. He's not asking you. He's telling you. So remove the stone that is in your life that is blocking you from achieving what God wants you to achieve. Don't go saying that what is behind that stone is impossible for it to happen in my life. Okay, if Jesus is saying to you now, remove the stone, he's giving you some direction. He's saying to you, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is the faith that I want you to have. This is the prayer. I want you to lift this person. I want you to speak to this person. I want you to do. I want you to do. I want you to do. You simply do what Jesus is telling you to do. He said it, remove the stone. He didn't ask her opinion. He simply said, remove the stone. Jesus, in essence, said, you will not see behind the stone until you remove the stone. Okay? You will not see behind the stone until you remove the stone. Okay? Now, you will not see behind your stone, that thing that is blocking you, until you remove it as God is telling you to do. Don't stand there. Don't stand there messing it up for yourself by rationalizing and going scientific on God and saying, no way can that happen. I don't have the education. I don't have the training. I don't have the background. I haven't been there long enough. I don't this, I don't that, I don't this, I don't that. Okay? God is saying to remove the stone because you will not see the results until you first follow God's direction. Remove the stone. You will not see behind the stone until you remove it. True faith acts as though God is correct, even when we haven't seen the results yet. Okay? That's what true faith is. When you act believing, knowing that God is correct, even though you haven't seen the results and you can't figure out why. This is believing and then seeing. Okay? If you want to believe that what is behind that stone and that removal, like God said, is the thing to do, you won't know what is behind that stone until you believe. So therefore, believing is then seeing. Many times God will tell us to remove an obstacle so that we can see our miracle. But that stone, as I said, gets in the way. Martha could not see behind the stone to see the miracle, so she just assumed the situation was dire. She just assumed that, all right, if the stone was moved away, we're just going to find my poor brother in there, his stinking body, this has been there for 4 days, all decayed, you know, and that's going to be the end result. She could not see beyond the stone. See, many times because of education, because of logic, because of so-called sophistication in our lives and our own stubbornness, we could be blocking God's miracle for us. Okay. Many times we're just simply plain old stubborn. We've got so in the habit of just worrying and knowing that things are going to go wrong that we cannot believe that if God tells us to do something, which seemingly does not make sense, that God is indeed going to bring through what he said he's going to bring through. Because we're simply stubborn. We've gotten so in the habit of having a negative attitude, you know. Oh, well, I know physics, and I know this, and I know that. I know that if my bank account says $3, no way am I going to be able to buy a house, to be able to buy a car. Okay? I don't have the money. Well, if God says you get up and go, I want you to start looking at houses tomorrow. If God says go down to the dealership, I want you to start looking at a car today. Don't go looking at your bank account. If God is telling you to go, then there's a reason why he's telling you to go. So you got to believe that you can get that house before you can actually see it. You got to believe that you're going to get that new car before you can actually see it. If God has given you directions, the way Jesus told her, remove the stone. He didn't try to reason with her, rationalize with her. Well, 4 days, but don't worry, this and that. Jesus didn't argue. He simply said, remove the stone. Well, through these scriptures today, God is telling you to remove that stone that's in your life. Okay. Believe it so you can see what God has for you in store behind that stone. We need to take God at his word and simply do what he asks us to do without seeing it first. Okay, God, I'll do this, but can you show me, give me a hint, give me a glimpse as to what is back there? You know, what was that old game show, door number one, door number two, door number three, and the contestant had to choose one of the doors, and sometimes it was a booby prize, and other times it was really something nice and expensive, okay? But they didn't know what was behind any of those doors, okay? Well, don't try to figure out, if God is telling you to go open door number two, don't worry about what is behind that door. You can't see behind it. God doesn't want you to worry about it. You simply believe. God is saying door number two has this jewel for you. Door number two has the elimination of that problem. Door number two has the results of your getting that job. Door number two is the results of you finding out and seeing the fact that you're healed, that you're healed. Don't go by what the doctor's reports say. Don't go by what the x-rays have said. Don't go by what the printouts say. Simply believe that God said that you are healed. And don't let that stone of that film, that Xerox, that x-ray film or that report stand in your way there. You simply believe. Okay. God is telling you that today through the scriptures. We've got to believe, and then indeed we'll wind up seeing. Sometimes we have trouble believing and exercising the faith as we may want to. We continue in verse number 44 here. And he that was dead, let me go back to 43 so it goes through smoothly again. When he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And then verse 44, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things happening which Jesus did, believed on him. Please underline, believed on him. Okay. By that display, by Lazarus coming out of that grave, out of that tomb, okay, after they removed the stone, bound in grave clothes, a napkin on the face, by them seeing that, it says there, many of the Jews in 45, verse 45, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed. Okay? Alrighty. So they believed. But some of them that went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, here they were watching, and the first thing they did, they said, we're going to go back and we're going to rat on Jesus now. We're going to tell the Pharisees. They knew that the Pharisees were the ruling, quote-unquote, religious class of the day. And so they had to go run and tattle and say, do you know what this guy Jesus did? Lazarus was dead, and he brought him forth out of the tomb. Verse 47 says, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees and said, what do we do? For this man does miracles. They had to admit it. This man does miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him. See, they didn't like that. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. See, they're worried about their place. They're worried about their status, if you will. Okay. If they start believing on Jesus, then they won't be followers of the Pharisees anymore. And they did not like that at all. Okay. They then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees. What shall we do? For this man does many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. See, here's the plot forming now. Okay, here's the plot. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that are scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. Underline verse 53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was near at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Okay, see, all this is happening prior to the Passover. Okay, now what happened during the Passover? We know that it was indeed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Okay, so you can see how the events here are falling into place. You can see this was Jesus' journey to the cross. God the Father was orchestrating all of this because God had a purpose. God had a prayer. God needed to get Jesus to that cross, and that's where he was heading. See, the jealous Pharisees, right away, they decided, they're scheming amongst themselves. You know, one man must die. And Caiaphas, of course, he was the high priest. He didn't want it to be him. The Pharisees, you know, they didn't want themselves, their status, you know, as being such a bold and wonderful religious people here that just knew God up there. They didn't want Jesus to replace them. So Jesus must die. And as I said, this was right before the Passover. Verse 55 again, the Jews' Passover was near at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and Jesus spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think you that he not come to the feast? That he will not come to the feast? They're guessing, they're wondering. You think he'll come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Okay. So here they spread the word. They spread the word that if anyone knows where this Jesus is, to let us know so we can arrest him. To let us know so that we can go and grab him. So we see here that through the resurrection of Lazarus here, through Jesus bringing him back to life, again, he demonstrated a very, very powerful point that we need to grasp through this message today. We cannot go with that old adage, you know, oh, if I see it, I'll believe it, or the way Thomas did. I will not believe it until I can see him and touch him. Jesus said, do you believe, to Martha? He said, do you believe that your brother will live again? Your brother will live again. Do you believe? Believe thou this, he said. So scripture is saying to you today, believe you this? Believe you what you just read? Believe you what the word of God says to you? Do you believe what Holy Spirit is telling you in your heart of hearts about that situation that is so troubling you? Do you believe that God can bring you through? If you believe that, then you will indeed see it. But you got to believe it first. Don't go saying, I'll see it and then I'll believe it. God, if you show me this, I'll believe it. Just give me that job, Lord, and I'll believe it. No, no, no. You believe it first, and then you'll get that job. Or whatever the situation is that might be so troubling you. See? And we see that when God gets a hold of you, we start looking at things in a whole different way. Let's go to John 14, verse 12. John 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Okay? Underline all of verse number 12, please, or highlight it. Verily, verily. Remember I say to you when you see those words, verily, verily? That means like, verily, verily. Here comes a dynamite truth. When you read that in Scripture, know that the following words are a dynamite truth. It's a profound statement that's about to be made. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, if you believe in Jesus, the works that I do shall he do also. So the same works that Jesus did, you have the capacity to do them also. Okay? The same, according to the word of God, not my words now. If you got a problem with that, then you got a problem with God. Because if you got a red letter Bible, these words are written in red, meaning that this is Jesus speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So you see, we have the capacity within us to do great and wondrous works. And as I said in the outset, the reason we don't see more miracles is because we don't believe in miracles. The reason you don't see more miraculous things happening in your life could be because you don't believe that more miraculous things can happen in your life. But Jesus said, the works that I do and greater things will he do because he's going to the Father. Verse 13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, underline that please, ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You shall ask anything in my name, and I will do it. That's one of the keys right there, critical key. It's in the name of Jesus. Everything, situation, people, things, critters, bows to the name of Jesus, everything. Every single demon of darkness and hell, that demon that is troubling you, that spirit that is troubling your life, that spirit that seems to be plaguing you, your success in life, your job, your family, whatever's going on, that spirit can be bound up and cast out and rejected in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Not in your name. As human beings, we have no power at all over powers of darkness. We have no powers in our own selves, within ourselves as human beings. But we do wield the name of Jesus Christ. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it. You see? But you've got to believe that. You've got to believe that that is indeed possible. Believe it, and then you'll see it. Don't say, God, if you can show me how that works, let me see that happen, you know, then I'll believe it. No, it just won't happen. Because you've got to, based on what God is telling you to do, you've got to initiate the action with belief that it will come to pass. And then you will indeed see it happen. Not the other way around. We also see if we go to Acts 9:32. Acts 9:32. And it came to pass as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt in Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda, and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all off, forth. He put them out, in other words. He didn't want any unbelief going on. He put them all out. He put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with Simon, with one Simon, a tanner. So you see, when the word of God said that, when Jesus said in the word of God, when Jesus said that, greater things will you do? This is exactly what Peter did. Peter raised someone from the dead. Okay. Now, we never know if God will ever call us to lay hands to raise someone from the dead. I don't know, you know. But if God did tell you to lay hands on someone to raise them from the dead, would you have the faith and belief that it should indeed be done and that it could happen? Okay. Believing before you actually see it. These miracles that Peter performed, obviously he believed that he could indeed do it, because otherwise he wouldn't have even attempted to try to do it. Amen. So if you can start believing before you actually see, you'll see your prayers answered and you'll see results in your life. If you can start believing before you actually see things happen, you'll see some changes. You will be amazed. You will be amazed if you can bring yourself to the point where you don't put stones in your path. You don't put stones in front of your vision. You don't put stones around you preventing you from doing certain things. You don't put blockages where God is telling you to do something, giving you an unction in your spirit to just go forth and pick up your feet and just go and do what God is telling you to do. If you can believe that the results will indeed be what you're praying for and what God is instructing you to do will be a positive thing in your life, if you can believe that, then you will be indeed see it. All right. So don't be like doubting Thomas. Don't say, Lord, if I can see this, I'll believe it. No. That has it backwards. Believe first, and then indeed you will see it. So don't wait to see before you believe. Again, believe so that you can see it. Believe so that you can see it. Amen. Praise God. Hope this message was a blessing to you. And if it was, tell others where we can be found. We can be reached at www.genesis1.sermon.net, www.genesis1.sermon.net. And if you look at the top of the page, you'll see a subscribe button. Click on that subscribe button and you'll be notified when these messages are available. We're also on YouTube, Genesis 1 Christian Ministries. Do a search for Genesis 1 Christian Ministries and you'll find our messages on there also. We have apps for Google and Android devices, and they are available at the respective Play Stores. Amen. All of these things are out there free of charge. Wherever you see those apps, through the sermon at genesis1.sermon.net or through the apps, all of those messages are downloadable, either in video form or audio-only form if you want, okay? Whatever's more convenient for you. Download just the audio and play it back in your car or something or on your phone. Whatever, it's all free of charge, okay? We just want you to have the Word of God there so that you can refer back to it whenever you wish to, as Holy Spirit. So, guys, you'd be surprised how they can help you in future days and weeks ahead of you. I know from time to time I have things going on in life, and I'll think back to a particular message that was given, you know, a few weeks ago or whatever, and I can find it by looking for the title, and there it is on the website or on the app. Okay, again, it's all free of charge. Also, if you're in the Salem, Oregon area, please, by all means, stop by to join us for a live worship service. We meet at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, and we meet at 2651 Commercial Street Southeast, 2651 Commercial Street Southeast in Salem, Oregon. It's in the Candelaria Terrace area of Salem. Come on by and join us. We'd love to have you there. You know, come by and sing with us, pray with us, worship with us. You know, let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Okay, as Holy Spirit so guides. You know, Holy Spirit is always there, and we just have a wonderful time enjoying the presence of God and enjoying one another's company. Amen. Amen. So come on by and join us. So praise God. Hope this message was a blessing to you. Okay, and remember, you know, see first. Believe first. Believe first, and then you'll see it. Okay, believe first, and then you'll see it. Praise God. Go forth and be blessed. And let us close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had with you, Lord God. And We pray in the name of Jesus that we shall remember these words that we've heard here today, O Lord God. Let us always strive and remember to, O Lord God, to simply have simple faith and belief in what you're telling us to do. Let us go forth in our lives knowing that if we can just believe and move forward, that then we will see the miracles and the wonders happening in our lives, O Lord. We praise you, Lord God. We magnify thy most glorious name. We give it all to you in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Go forth and be blessed. And remember always that Jesus is indeed Lord.